Are you guys ready to celebrate today? All right. All right. So let's do this. Give someone a high five and say, let's celebrate. Let's do it. Let's celebrate. All right, you guys can have a seat. Okay, stand back up. No, I'm just kidding. All right, well, it's great to see all of you here this morning. My name's Chris Norman. I'm on the leadership team here at Grace, and we are excited to celebrate. Today is a very special day in the life of our church. In fact, you can think about special moments in your own personal life. Maybe it's the day you got married, maybe the day you had a child, maybe your graduation. Maybe it's the day you're getting a new job or the day you became a Christian. We all have special moments in our lives. Churches have special moments as well, or maybe even special seasons. Maybe a church has a special season of healing, maybe a season of new believer growth. Maybe a church has a season of spiritual growth. Maybe there's a season of financial provision. And so churches have special moments. We started a journey 10 years ago when we had farmland here, and no one can believe the story that our church has been on these last 10 years, basically starting with nothing, and everyone said you couldn't build anything, to now building this multi-million dollar building. And within 10 years, paying it off so aggressively that today, as we sit here, we're now under $1 million left to completely pay it off. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you're here. We pray that you'll just sit back and relax and enjoy the time together. And we're happy that you can join us during this special service. If you were around in 2004 when we started this journey, you'll never forget the experience. We had a three-year stewardship campaign where people made pledges above their regular giving. We then had a second campaign to continue to pay off this facility, making more progress. And throughout it all, over the last 10 years, we've never had a focus on money or fundraising. In fact, our predominant focus has always been on spiritual growth and what God wants to do in us and through us. When we built this facility, we had a vision for how it would be used. Things like it would be used 7 days a week, all kinds of different ministries and groups our church could use it, community groups, community organizations. We had a list of about 50 ways that we hoped the building would be used. And today, we know that every way that we hope the building would be used, it's being used. And so we're very, very thankful and encouraged. What we didn't know is that this building would also be used for God's kingdom regionally and nationally as we train church leaders. That wasn't on our radar. And now on a recurring, regular basis, this facility is being used to train leaders. In fact, just this past week, we had another group of leaders coming in from various states being trained. I had one gentleman in particular this week came up to me and he said, you know what? And I hear this all the time. This is an absolutely amazing facility. And he said to me this week, he said, you mind if I walk around and take pictures? Because this is exactly the type of facility that we would love our church to have in our future as well. We've also just been recently asked if we could host a global training event for pastors in September, where not only leaders will be coming from all over the country, but other parts of the world in September. This place will be absolutely maxed out. In fact, we'll be putting tents on the property to be able to hold the people. We had no idea that this building would be used in all these different ways, and particularly as we help train leaders. But I tell you what, God knew when we built this facility all the ways it would be used. This building will be used by generations and generations after us, after we're all gone. Other generations will use this building as a tool for ministry and kingdom work. And you know what we'll be known for in the generations to come? We'll be known for being the pioneers. The ones when no one said that we could build this facility because we didn't have enough money, we actually built it. And not only did we build it, we also paid for it. So it wasn't like we said, okay, our generations, we're going to build it and we're going to expect the future generations to pay for it. That wasn't our mentality from the beginning, and it's not our mentality today. No, what we'll be known for is that we built it and we paid for it. The chapter of building and paying for this facility will be coming to an end soon. And the years or decades down the road, what I think that we will remember most for the pioneers during this segment of time that actually built it and paid for it, what I think we'll remember the most is how we started and how we ended. How did we begin and how did we end? That's what I think. Now, the middle years of how we paid for it, some of us will remember that, but I think what we'll remember most is how we started and how we ended. Some of you were a part of how we started. And again, you'll never forget that. Those in our church today will have the opportunity to experience the way we end the journey. And the reality is, the more we sacrifice and the more ownership we have in the process, the more joy and reward we have when it ends and we see all the fruits of the labor for generations to come. And so here's what we're asking God. We have just under $1 million left. We're asking Him if He would be willing to pay off the remaining million, $950,000, over the next 2 years above our regular giving. What are the chances of that happening? Slim to none, humanly speaking, and I could give you all the reasons why the chances are slim to none, humanly speaking. But God's done the impossible in the past, and He's not bound to the limitations of human reason and human power. And so we're asking every family whose heart prompts them to give, to make a pledge over the next 2 years above their regular giving. And then we're going to put the results into God's hands. Our leaders met this past Monday night, and we made our pledges before everyone else, which is a principle that we see throughout Scripture, and in particular in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, when the temple was built. David brought the leaders together and said, let's give first, because we don't want to ask everyone else to give what we're not willing to give. And so our leaders met Monday night. We had 44 families represented, and the amount pledged among those families was just under $350,000. So we're praising God. Amen for that. And so God loves a cheerful giver. No one's under compulsion. No one needs to feel obligated to give. In fact, no one even has to make a pledge. We've made it very clear about that. It's only as God prompts. And that's exactly the way the Scriptures communicate it with free will giving. It's only as God's people feel led to give. Regular giving is something consistent. On top of that is simply as you feel led. And so if you feel led, we have these pledge cards, and there should be on your tables or on your chairs. Let me just give a couple minutes of explanation of how these pledge cards work. And so you have the first designation, which is your regular giving. Now this is an opportunity, and we did some teaching that that God desires us to financially give on a regular basis as a part of the first fruit of our income, the first portion of our income. And so for some of us, we've never had the opportunity just to think through, okay, what percentage of my income do I give to God on a regular basis? So this first line, this monthly amount, is an opportunity for you to actually write it down for your own self-accountability. This number isn't recorded by anyone. It's for your benefit. And so there's some self-accountability that takes place when you actually write down, this is what is a percentage of my income that I want to give to God and His church every month. So that's the first line. And then the actual pledge, there's a sight portion and a faith portion. The sight portion is, okay, this is what I believe that we can give. We know where the money's going to come from over the next 2 years, and that's what we'll pledge. The faith portion is, okay, I have no idea where this amount will come from, but I just feel God prompting me to give this amount. And I'm just trusting that over the next 2 years, He'll provide it in ways I have no idea where it will come from. If He doesn't provide it, I obviously can't give it. But I'm going to take a step of faith and make a pledge in my faith portion. And then what you do is you add the sight portion and the faith portion together, and that becomes your two-year pledge. And so what we'll do here in a few moments is we're going to give you an opportunity to fill this out, and then we're going to collect them. And then at the end of the service, we are going to communicate what the total amount is for the total pledges. Here's what Philippians 1:6 says. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. This is Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. That has an application to individuals, and it has an application to churches. And so God has started a good work in us, and He certainly will be faithful to complete it. And so we're going to make these pledges, and then what we've asked is that whatever pledge you are able to make, whatever amount you're able to give of that pledge, we will consider this our first fruit offering. And so we're going to ask you to, we have some envelopes for your offering. This will only be for the offering of the pledges. So later in the service, we'll take up our regular offering. This is not a time for the regular offering. This is only a time for the first fruit offering. So what I'd like you to do is just spend some a few moments praying. The team is just going to sing a song. Just pray. If you're here with your spouse and you're not sure what you want to pledge or if you want to pledge, maybe take a few moments and just pray with your spouse. This is a time for prayer and reflection. We'll take about 3 or 4 minutes. And then we will collect the pledge cards, and we will collect the first fruit offering. So let's take the next 3 or 4 minutes and go ahead and pray. And I'll begin us with prayer, and then as God's Spirit leads, we can fill these cards out and turn them in as well as our first fruit offering. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for the ways in which You work in our lives personally, the ways in which You work in our church corporately. And we are so thankful for the ways in which You've shown us that Your power is not limited to human reason or human power. And so we pray that You would continue to work through us. We pray and we ask that You would be willing to pay this facility off in the next 2 years through our sacrifices. Whatever we give, Lord, we pray that You'd multiply just as Jesus multiply the fish and the loaves by faith. And we know that we're using this facility for Your kingdom, so we know our motivations are true and right and pure. We thank You for the amazing ways that we've used this facility as a tool. We know that it'll be used for generations to come. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity for us to be the pioneers of this. And so we don't take it for granted. We pray that You continue to work in us as we follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a few moments, just pray on your own, and then we'll be taking up the pledge cards here shortly. Let's go ahead and take up our pledge card offering. So the ushers will be coming around go ahead and turn in your pledge card. If you turned your pledges in as leaders on Monday night, don't turn a card in. So we already have that recorded. So if you've already made your pledge, just let the basket pass. But for the rest, let's go ahead and turn those cards in. We'll get them back to our accountant, and she will begin tallying those up so that we can make the announcement. We'll be eating soon, so don't worry. The food's going to be there in a few moments. And so let's go ahead and then as you're turning in your pledge card, we're going to immediately afterwards turn in our offering, first fruit offering. Again, this is not the regular offering. This is just for the first fruit for the pledges. And if you sealed your envelope, please unseal it because that's going to take time for them back there to unseal it. So please don't seal your envelopes. Some of you got them sealed, stapled, taped, and everything else, duct taped. That just takes longer back there to break them open and to tally them. Okay, so we're just turning in pledge cards right now, not offerings yet, just pledge cards. If you have a pledge card that hasn't been turned in yet, just raise it up high so the ushers can come around. Just raise it up. Get all of them. Got another one over here, John. All right, everyone got theirs in. All right, they will take those back. And then we're going to got one over here, guys, John. Yep. Okay, now we're going to take up the offering, and then we're going to eat. So let's take the offering up. Again, this is just for the first fruit offering for the pledges. Clem, are we ready to take that up yet, or do we need a minute? All right, here we go. Yep, go ahead. Yeah, so turn in your pledge offering. We will take these now, and they will count them as well, and we will announce the total first fruit offering at the end as well. So as they're picking them up, let me just give you the rundown of what we'll do the rest of our service. So we're going to take the next 20 to 25 minutes to grab food and to eat. And then we're going to be done by 11:30, so just give you an idea. So we're going to take the next 20, 25 minutes to eat. I'll have a 10-minute devotional thought for us. We'll then take up our regular offering. And then hopefully at that point, they'll have totals for us. We'll announce the totals, and then we'll have a closing song or two to celebrate. And then, Lord willing, everything will be wrapped up by 11:30. So, if you have a first fruit offering that hasn't been received yet, just raise it up high so we get them all. So we have two tables for food, both sides. How many tables do we have for drinks? Just over here? Do we have another area for drinks? Just over there. Okay, so you got drinks over there, food over there. Let me just pray for our food. Everyone got... They're still collecting. Okay. Okay, I think we got them all. Raise them high if you haven't given yours yet. Got some back there. Okay, I assume we got them all. If you haven't given yours, just raise it up. Okay. All right, let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, thanks for this food. Thanks for the way you provide for us financially, the way you provide food for us, shelter, all our daily needs. Lord, I pray that you would bless those who are giving. And we know that throughout Scripture we see that you bless generosity. And so I pray for every family in this room and every family at our church that's giving generously, Lord, that you'll bless them generously. I pray that you'd provide for them financially in ways they never would have thought because of the way you're working in their lives and because you're blessing their generosity. So we pray that, and we know that you you do that, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the very many ways that you provide for us. We thank you for this time of celebration to eat this food together, and we commit what we've just given to you. We pray that you would multiply it in your perfect way and according to your perfect power, and we're going to celebrate what you have done and are doing. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just give you a few scenarios with regard to the announcement that we'll make here shortly about the total amount pledged as well as the total first fruit offering. As you know, we started 5 years ago, 10 years ago with nothing. Today we have, with the land and the building, assets of $5 million. And we owe $950,000. So it's an absolutely incredible story of how God has provided for us financially. Out of our operating budget currently, we're paying $100,000 a year. And we know that if we just coasted the rest of the time and just paid our minimum payments, it would take us 16 years to pay off the $950,000. And obviously hundreds of thousands would be going to interest. And so if we just continue to pay that over the next couple of years, we'd actually, if we're trying to pay it off in 2 years, we would shave off 100,000 of that 950 over the next 2 years. We've also said that we're designated 10% of all the monies that come in to our expansion, which we are offering a new service on the north side of town, DuPont Coldwater area, this fall. And so we're designating 10% of these pledges and offerings, or the money that comes in, to expansion. So if we consider the 10% going toward expansion, we consider over the next couple of years, the $100,000 that would go right to our principal from our own payments, we still would need then a total of over the next 2 years of $950,000, and then we would be debt free. So let me give you some scenarios. So if our total pledges and our total receipts over the next 2 years come back at $950,000, then obviously we end the 2 years at being debt free. If we have money that comes in over and above the $950,000. What will we do with it? Very good question. Our leaders, we haven't spent a lot of time thinking and praying about that. If that were the case, then we would pray and be Spirit-led with regard to how those funds would be distributed over and above paying off our debt. It would be a great problem to have, and I'm sure we'd seek to be Spirit-led. If our pledges are considerably lower, so let's say our pledges and the announcement here shortly is half of what we owe. So let's say our total pledges are $425,000. What would we do? So we owe $950,000. Let's say total pledges, the announcement, $425,000. What would we do? Here's what we would do. We would celebrate God's goodness, God's power, God's greatness. Can you imagine in 2 years paying off half of a $950,000 debt? It would be amazing, and we give God all the glory. Just because our prayers are off the charts and we're asking for miraculous things to happen doesn't mean we get disappointed if we only receive a portion of what we ask for. One of the benefits of going through a stewardship campaign like this is that everyone gets to learn some very valuable lessons, some spiritual lessons that apply in various areas of life. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to model something in front of you that you can imitate in other areas of your life. God wants us to ask for things that are off the charts, that are outside the box, that don't make human sense. He says in James 4 that sometimes you don't have because you don't ask. And so what I'm doing is I'm modeling in front of you how we ask for things that God places on our hearts and then how we navigate through that. Whatever the answer is, if we receive everything we ask for, if we receive part of what we ask for, or if we receive nothing of what we ask for, we still give him the glory, we still give him the praise, and we still thank God for it all. Part of the reason that we don't ask for things that are off the chart is because we want to protect ourselves from being disappointed. And we need to learn not to do that. God places things in our hearts that are beyond our human ability. And he wants us to pursue those things, to ask for those things, to have faith for those things, and then simply to relieve or to give the results to him. I've prayed for physical healing for many people. I've seen some people not receive any physical healing. I've seen some people receive partial healing. And I've seen some people receive complete and full physical healing. During our second stewardship campaign, the middle campaign, we had $2.1, $2.2 million debt. We prayed as a congregation that over those 3 years that God would pay off the rest of the facility, $2.1, $2.2. And so we prayed and asked him. And we received a little over, or right around $1 million over those 3 years. And what did we do? We rejoiced. Did we get everything we asked for? No. But God blessed us in amazing ways. This is part of the rhythm of a walk in faith. You step out in faith. You ask things. You believe things that are outside your control. And then you simply leave the results to him. It's really important for us to pray for the things that God places on our heart and then to be content with whatever the outcome. Last week we said there are three specific costs to stepping out and believing. Three specific costs for asking for big things from God. Number one, it's personal vulnerability. Number two, it's ridicule from others. And number three, it's relinquishing self-dependence. These are the three things that as you step out in faith, you make yourself vulnerable. Okay, what if I ask God for that and he doesn't give it to me? Or what if people ridicule me because I'm taking steps of faith? Or I have to relinquish my self-dependence? Look, you can have faith. You can really believe something's going to happen. And at the end of the day, no matter what takes place, you don't need to have this sense of disappointment if you don't get everything you ask for. Or you don't need to conclude, I must have gotten it wrong because I really believed it was going to happen. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I believe that the greatest example, the greatest passage of Scripture on stepping out in faith, truly believing that something's going to happen and yet completely giving God the outcome is Daniel 3:17 and 18, which says this: if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. I have the faith that he will do it. If we go in the fire, he will do it. But even if he doesn't, in other words, I'm not being presumptuous, but even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship even the image of gold you have set up. It's an extremely important principle for Christians to understand. You step out in faith. You totally believe that God's going to do something. And you leave the results in His hands. I completely believe that we will pay this facility off in 2 years. I believe it. My faith's rising. In fact, as I was praying yesterday and going for a jog, I was praying and I was just saying, Lord, thank you so much for allowing my faith to rise in what you're going to do. I honestly believe that you will pay this facility off in 2 years. But at the same time, if it doesn't happen in 2 years, I am completely fine with that. I'm not worried, wondering what the number is going to be. I have no sense of anxiety. I don't feel like, oh, I said publicly I think the building's going to be paid off in 2 years. And if it doesn't, oh, you got mud in your face, Chris, you got it wrong. I don't believe any of that nonsense. I fully believe it will happen. But even if it doesn't, if it takes us 5 years to pay it off, 7 years, I don't care. That's up to God. But I fully believe it will happen. Faith is rising. Here's the bottom line. Don't be afraid to ask for things that you're unsure will happen. You have areas in your life where you're struggling. And sometimes we get gun shy. And actually praying those bold prayers. Telling others about those bold prayers. Because we don't want anyone looking down on us or thinking we're crazy. Don't buy into that lie either. Walk in faith. Walk in strength. Let your faith rise. And at the end of the day, don't be worried that your reputation's on the line. Because it's not. I firmly believe, even if pledges come back here in whatever amount of time we make the announcement, we say, oh, you know, 458,000, praise God, amen. I believe that even if that's the total amount, that over the next 2 years, God could still show up in various ways. This is not the end of the story. But even if we're post 2 years, I'm totally good with it. I don't feel like my reputation's on the line at all. So pray, be at peace, and let your faith rise. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let me just pause for a moment and let you just to be thinking about, maybe it's an issue of your physical health. You need to pray bold prayers. Maybe it's an area of someone in your family or a friend who's not a Christian. You think they'll never become a Christian. Bold prayers. Maybe it's an area of finances. Maybe it's an area of a job. Let's walk in faith, not in sight. Let's let our faith rise. Because God is not constrained to our box. And let's believe and leave the results completely to Him. So let me just pause and let me allow you to pray for things that are near and dear to your heart. Make some bold prayers and start believing that God can do these things. Let's pray. So I'm just going to give you a few moments here just to pray. You know the things on your heart, the things outside of your control, the things that seem impossible. You pray them right now and let your faith rise without being 1 ounce of presumptuous. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to walk by faith, not by sight. And, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of this stewardship campaign. It has really little to do with money or fundraising, but everything to do with our relationship with you and the things that you're teaching us and training us in. So that has application in so many different other areas of life. And so, Lord, I pray that we would hear from you. I pray that we'd respond to you. I pray that even right now, the faith would be rising in the room. And I pray that we'd be walking outside of the box of human reason and the laws of nature. You've created these laws, and we live in them, but you're not bound to them. So we walk in faith with you. We ask that this facility be paid off in 2 years. We'll leave that result in your hands. And we ask for these things that these, my brothers and sisters, have just been praying. And we leave those results in your hands as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to make a couple of announcements. We're going to take up our offering, and then we're going to make the announcement of the pledges, which I just got. So a couple of announcements before we take up our regular offering, and that is we have a parent-child dedication that's going to take place in a week or two, I believe, 2 weeks, I think, from today, parent-child dedication. And then our summer hours begin today, and next week. So there, it's 10 o'clock, one service. And then I made the announcement, maybe 2 months ago about we're a part of a ministry organization that trains, pastors and leaders all over the country. It's called 3DM. Mike and Sally Breen are the leaders. It's a global ministry, and they train pastors and leaders on how to disciple their people and how to help them engage in mission. So this ministry organization called 3DM is training and coming alongside of leaders all over in the areas of discipleship and mission. We've been greatly impacted by them, and now God's using us to help impact other leaders and churches. Well, Mike and Sally Breen came from the UK in England, and were leading a church there, and they left that church 10 years ago. That church, Network Church Sheffield, is one of the most influential churches in all of Europe. And when he left, a man named Paul McConaughey became the senior leader of that church. And over the last 10 years, that church has grown in influence. It's grown as a church and is still one of the most influential churches in Europe. Well, Mike and Sally Breen have asked Paul and his family to leave England, come to the States, and help begin a network of churches that are involved in 3DM and being trained in discipleship and mission. It'll be a national network. Mike asked me if we would be willing to host this couple and actually to sponsor their visa. So over the last 10 months, we've been working with immigration, and we have sponsored their visa. This couple, which they've been offered churches all over the country, churches way more prestigious than ours. They have had all kinds of offers to come there, and they've decided they want to come here. And so they're going to be moving to Fort Wayne from England, and they'll be leading this national network, and they'll be setting it up here in Fort Wayne. Paul and his family will be actually a part of Grace Gathering, and we'll do some teaching on Sunday here and there, do some leadership training with our leaders as well. It is an absolute honor for us to have him here. In fact, as I talk to churches even in the region, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, they're honored that they're going to actually be in our region, much less in our city and in our church. And so they will be moving here on July 8th. I just got an email a couple days ago. They're moving here July 8th. And so 2 months ago, I said, hey, look, we're praying. They can't buy a house. They're going to be doing a lot of hosting of national leaders, international leaders. So they need a decent-sized home because of how many people will be staying in their home here in Fort Wayne. They need a decent-sized home, but they can't buy one on a visa. And so we're just praying. We're asking God. We know it's a big ask. Probably won't happen. But let's just ask if there would be any kind of person that would be willing to buy this home that we found and then rent it to them. And someone from within our congregation felt prompted by God, bought the house, and this is the house they will move into July 8th. It's an amazing story, God's provision, just incredible things. And so as they move here, they will move with only their clothes. They will have nothing. So we have this empty house, and we need to fill it with actually everything you can think of. They will need two vehicles. They will need beds. They will need couches. Everything. They will come with nothing. I'm going to put a picture on the screen of Paul and Ellie and his two girls. So Paul and Ellie on the outside there, and his two girls are 12 and 14. I've been in their home. It takes about 6 minutes to mow their yard. And when they get into this home, it'll probably take them close to 2 hours. And so it's going to be a big adjustment for them. A few things that we need immediately. Number one would be all these are donations, obviously. We've had a lot of donations that have already come in. We need a lawnmower that's a good lawnmower. And we need mattresses. We don't want to give them old, used mattresses. That's going to be difficult. They need two vehicles. I mean, they need everything. And so on our website, there's a form to fill out. If you're interested in donating anything to them or any money to them, that we'll be, we're trying to purchase some things for them. There's already been a few people who've donated some money. But we're trying to fill their house so that when they arrive in July, everything is ready for them. And they'll be launching this national network. So on our website, if you feel led at all to donate something, if you have some furniture, we don't really want old stuff. We want nice stuff. Again, they'll be hosting a lot of international leaders. And so if you're willing to donate something, please let us know. And we have, a few needs that are more immediate, like a nice lawnmower and some mattresses that we don't really want used unless they're like new. So anyway, you can go on the website, let us know what you're willing to donate, if anything, or you can come talk to me or any of our elders, and we'll let you know what those growing needs are. So let's go ahead and we're going to pray for our offering, our regular offering, and then we're going to make the announcement, and then we're going to, whatever that number is, we're going to celebrate, right? Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we are extremely honored to have the McConaughey family moving from the UK. They could go virtually anywhere in the U.S., any church they wanted to. Many churches rolling out the red carpet, yet they choose to come here to Fort Wayne and to be a part of the family here at Grace Gathering. Completely honored. We're praying for great things as you use this couple as an impact in our country and even in our city. And Lord, we pray that you'd meet all of their needs. We know they have a lot of needs, but you own everything, and so it's very little to you. And so we pray that these needs will be met. We thank you again for this day of celebration, and we just rejoice in the ways in which you're working. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people in the regular giving, the week in and the week out, the month in, the month out, committed, always giving the first fruit to you. We thank you for the commitment financially. For that. And we just praise you for that and pray that you would continue to bless as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to make the announcement of the pledges, and we're not close to having the total for the first fruit, which is good, right? So what we'll do is we'll make a... I'll send out a congregational email. If you don't get our congregational email, I think most of you do. If you're not on that list and you want to be, go to the Connection Center and just at least give us your name and email address. We'll put you on the list. Now, you probably won't get the email today, but you'll get it this week. And we'll make the announcement of what the first fruit offering is. But I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement of what the pledge offering is. And then send an email out later today for the rest of us to know. Does that sound good? All right. So this is what we'll do. I'll make the announcement. And then we'll just all come to our feet, and we will give one another high fives, and we'll go right into a upbeat, fast tempo, rocking song. You got one for us?
Oh, we don't have any of those.
We got a slow song.
Yeah.
Like slow meditative. All right. And then I'll close this in prayer. Is that all right? Okay, so the total pledges, you guys ready? So when I make the announcement, rise up, give everyone a high five, let's do it. Here it is. Total pledges, dim the lights, here we go. We're going to commercial break. Little Ryan Seacrest there, you know. All right, so here we go. $770,000. Amen. Praise God. Amen and amen and amen. All praise to God. $770,000 pledged over the next 2 years. Completely off the charts, out of the box. Only what God can do. We give all the praise to Him. Amen. I am totally overwhelmed and overcome by thankfulness and gratefulness to God. I cannot believe it. Just praising God, just immensely and so thankful for the ways in which God's people respond to His voice. Let's close our celebration time in prayer. Lord, we are so honored to be able to give to You, to sacrifice to You, to make these pledges to You. We entrust them into Your hands, Lord. We thank You so much for the ways in which You're working among us in so many ways. This is one small way, financial provision, that You're showing Your power to us. We're so grateful. And Lord, I pray that You continue to bless Your people as they faithfully sacrifice generously to You. Lord, we thank You so much for the ways in which You've worked among us today, the ways You worked among us yesterday, and the way in which You will work among us tomorrow. We commit our lives to You. We commit our families to You. We commit our church family to You. We commit our city to You. We commit our nation to You, and ultimately we commit this world to You. We pray Your kingdom would come from heaven to earth for Your glory and Your honor. Help us to be faithful, to walk in faith as we follow You, and we give You all the glory for it. Thank You for this day of celebration. In Jesus' name, everyone together, amen.